Well, guys, I get the privilege of sharing today, and I want you to know I'm very excited. Normally, I don't feel any pressure at all about what we're teaching, because normally we teach a book of the Bible or else either a topic, a book of the Bible, or a topic that is just, I know is going to relate to everybody. And I was feeling very, very, very excited about this message series. It's going to be actually 19 weeks count. Today's just an introduction, then 18 weeks. And until last week, I said, how many of you would be excited if I said we're going to do a series on doctrine? There are about 200 of you here, and about 10 to 15 of you raised your hand. So my work is cut out for me, but that's okay, because I really do believe what we're going to be looking at is going to be, by the end of it, I think you'll say, well, we really are glad we did that series. I think it's going to be very, very helpful. There's a lot of reasons I'm excited, but one of them being is that I think there's another pandemic other than COVID going on. And that's for us who read a lot about churches across the world, but mostly churches across America. There's a pandemic of a lot of people deciding to deconstruct their faith. In other words, they're saying, I once believed this, but I'm now switched positions and I don't believe it anymore. And I'm not one that's opposed to deconstructing our faith as long as we're reconstructing it based on truth. Like if we want, as young people, if you're like maybe in the moving from the high school age to college or college to adult, and you're saying, how much of what I believe is my parents or how much of what I believe is God's word? I think that's a good thing for you to do. And so to reconstruct your faith built on truth, not on popular opinion, is a good thing for you to do, and that's what I hope we're going to be able to do here. Some of you know I write a life cycle every morning. I go fast to nowhere every week, every day, you know, 5-6 days a week I write it. I always end up the same place I start. Can't figure that bike out. But I was reading this week a magazine from Biola. That's where I went and got my graduate work was done. And they had a magazine talking about the Christian schools, Christian higher education, how they are drifting from their missions, how they're losing what they started out doing. And I paraphrased it for where I think, again, a lot of people are. And so I think it's up on the screen. It says this: losing focus on doctrine happens because of peripheral vision, wanting to wander towards the more appealing or distracting. It is not intentional, but it is inevitable unless we are disciplined to know truth and stick to it, even in turbulent times, even when it's countercultural, which we certainly live in now. And so what we're going to try and do is try to help you focus on what is truth, and hopefully in the sense of not only will we discover what is truth, but how do we then live that out in our day-to-day lives. We're all about trying to think biblically and live distinctively. And I think if we think biblically, we're going to live distinctively. The series started with, I read a book called Do You Believe by Paul David Tripp, who I do like a lot, but it's a newer book that he wrote. And in this book, he wrote about 12 different doctrines. And he wrote one chapter on the doctrine, one chapter on how to apply the doctrine, then another chapter on another doctrine. I have loved it, and the main reason I've loved the book so much is because it does show how to apply it to our lives. I'm normally not a big doctrine fan because it's kind of like all up here in the head, and I want to move it to the heart. Well, he helps us do that, and I think you're going to enjoy that. Now, some of you might say, well, why not just have us read the book and rather than you teach through the book? Well, it's 461 pages, and my guess is many of you would say, I'm not a reader, and if I was a reader, I don't have time for that book. But you do come each week to be with God's people. You do come each week to worship, and you do come each week to be taught. So I think by that, we'll be in here together going through doctrines. It'll be from Scripture, and I think it's going to be extremely profitable to every one of us in different ways as we go on. Let me start by just defining what I mean by doctrine. This is actually Christian doctrines. Are those truths that the church holds to be true today, yesterday, and forever? In other words, they are not changing. They're the foundations of what Christians have believed from the beginning of Christianity to now. And so again, there's the things that are going to be true. They were true, they are true, and they always will be true. That's what we're going to look at. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you so much for the privilege of being with your people this morning. I thank you already for the joy of seeing so many young children come up and listen attentively to a message from your word, from truths from your word. I thank you for the joy of seeing families connecting and interacting, and I just pray you'll continue to help us be people who know how to think biblically, live distinctively, and love like Jesus to impact our world for him. And I pray for this series that, Father, you would help us to know truth and to let the truth then affect how we live day to day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. You that are new don't know this, but I like to be safe but unpredictable. Now, I'm going to tell you this is unpredictable. You're saying you're teaching. We're not supposed to do anything. You're going to do something, but you're very safe. You're going to, the most you're going to have to say is your name, and whether where you're sitting is your normal spot. That's not going to hurt any of you. So here's what I want you to do. By looking behind you, in front of you, left or right, I want you to try to get in a group of 6 to 8 people, at least half of which you don't know. That's the goal, okay? So you're going to do that. When you get in that group, I just want you to go around the group and just say your name, whether the place you're sitting is kind of your normal spot, or whether you say, no, it's my first time here, or say, no, I usually sit over there, but that tall, big guy took my place, and I was going to ask him to move. I'm just going to say, so. And then the last question is just whether you're cheering for the Bengals or the Rams next week, or you're saying, I don't know, and I don't care. What are you even talking about? Tigers in here for. So you get. That's just the three questions. Name, whether you're sitting in your place, and whether you're, who you're cheering for next week, or you should say, I could care less. But then, in 90 seconds, I'll tell you when to start. I'm going to give you 90 seconds in that circle to brainstorm. That means if you want to be quiet, you don't have to say a word. You got 7 other brains that are going to be thinking for you. But I want you just to brainstorm on what are some doctrines that you think are the church has. In other words, they were true when Christianity began, when Jesus walked the earth, what he taught, and they're true today. What thing, just so you're just going to brainstorm together on doctrines that you think that this church holds that have been held by churches across the world forever. Okay? All right, go ahead. You got a couple minutes to introduce yourselves on that, and then we'll come back and I'll have you tell me brainstorms. Try to find people who don't know everybody. Okay, now you're becoming too good of friends. Now you're just going to go and just going to, again, you're going to get 90 seconds, brainstorm on doctrines. What doctrines do you think the church holds? Okay, 90 seconds, brainstorm together. Be quiet if you want so there's no pressure. You're safe. Thirty seconds left. All right. If you can go ahead and just kind of come back and face this way, we'll go ahead and finish our message time, our introduction to the message. That's one way to get your attention. All right, guys, thank you. And again, hopefully it was safe for you. It wasn't anything too hard. But let me ask this, just where you are, just shout out, what are some of the doctrines your group came up with? What are some you had? Sin, doctrine of sin, reality. It is there. It's always been there. Will always be there. What else? Salvation, doctrine of salvation. The Trinity, doctrine of the Trinity, nice easy one. So we'll have Debbie teach on that when we come to that one. It's an easy one. Steve, Bible, the inspired word of God. Actually, what we're going to talk about next week is the doctrine of Scripture. But it, yeah, excellent. What? A couple more. Incarnation, excellent. This side, you're being out. You got to give us one. Believer's baptism, very good. Okay, so that's some ideas of where we're going. Now, not all those we're going to do. We're going to do some different ones and not all those. But here's what I want to ask, and not by a show of hands or anything like that, but would you agree with me that you're maybe like Noel and like me, who a lot of times we know things that we don't live? There's a gap between what we know and what we do. For instance, we know that we have nothing to fear. If God be for us, who can be against us? Do not fear. It's all the time. And yet how many of us sometimes do fear and worry and fret? And that's just one. There's a lot of gaps. And so again, this series is geared towards helping us close that gap. I don't think it'll be closed altogether until the other side of earth, the other side of our lives and eternity. But I think we can close the gap. Every one of us, no matter how big the gap is, I think we can close it. And that's what we're going to do. What I do want to make sure you know is that it is not going to be to try to make any of us feel guilty for how big the gap is. It's going to try to help us close that gap as we move through the thing. Instead, it's to equip us to understand the doctrines of our faith, but how to close that gap. Now, how you feel about how big the gap is or how you feel could be dependent upon how your view of God is. I read this by Dwight Hill. He's a guy that used to be a part of Firm Family, one of the guys that has really impacted the world through his ministry with the Navigators and discipleship. And here's a quote he said, "How you choose to deal with your spiritual failings probably has something to do with your view of God. Either you view him as a condemning tyrant or as a loving father." Well, I hope you know that he is a loving father, and he is going to, though, help us close that gap because he wants us to become more like his son, Jesus. But Proverbs 24:16 says, "The righteous man falls 7 times. There's a gap. He falls, but it says he gets back up. He doesn't quit. And that's what hopefully we're going to be doing here is equipping you how to keep going. I want to start by giving 2 examples that you see. The gap is not just us people. It's been there from the beginning. Here is a true story from the Bible, Galatians 2:11-12. About Peter. Many of us know Peter was a guy God used greatly and has had huge impact in the world and Christendom from the time he walked the earth. And here's what Galatians says. "When Cephas," which is Peter, "came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face." So this is Paul writing. "Because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles." Peter was a Jew. And at that time, most of the Jews thought that they were way above the Gentiles, and yet Jesus came and taught there's no distinction, that I'm going to die for the Jew and the Gentile, male and female. And Peter knew that, and God graphically showed him through a vision, and actually Peter understood it, and he said, I get it. So he started eating with the Gentiles and fellowship with the Gentiles. They were his friends. But then came some Jewish friends to town, and all of a sudden Peter said, I can't do this anymore, because if they do, they're going to kind of make fun of me for being with the Gentiles. So Peter confronts them. He says, "But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy so that they, by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray." So here we see a guy that from Acts 10, he knew what God had thought about the Jews and the Gentiles and what Jesus came to die for all of them. And he knew that, and he was living that out. But then with a little pressure, he let the gap grow very big between what he knew and what he did. And he got fearful of man, so he just kind of withdrew and pretended he didn't love the Gentiles anymore. And Peter confronts him. Now, so the gap was big, but what I want you to know is Peter then did. The righteous man falls seven times. He got back up. He listened to Paul. He knew he was wrong. And then he went on and had a great ministry with his life. So our failures do not have to define us. They don't have to determine our destiny. We can deal with them. Here's another one. This was closer to home example of the Between the Gap. And truly, this is Paul David Tripp in his book was giving the example of somebody he's trying to say, a lot of us have this head knowledge, but not this heart knowledge. And he's trying to give an example. And I'm going to read you what he said, and then I'm going to tell you what it is. Here's what he's talked about, this man that he was talking about. He wanted to win a debate versus win her heart, talking about him, the husband and the wife. He went to win a debate versus win her heart. He had a master of theology of God's grace. Master of theology of God's grace and a dispenser of very little. He had impatient criticism versus patient mercy. He believed in sovereignty but has to be in control of everything. His wife says we need counseling. The husband says, of course we don't. Now you say, well, what's that so special? Because, guys, literally, that could be my biography. And I thought, I never had counseling with Paul David Tripp. How does he know me so well? And if you will talk to Lindy, wherever my beautiful wife is back there, she will say, it wasn't evident when we first got married, but as what time went on, she'll say, that probably was a lot of will. And I read Paul David Tripp and I thought, Lord, I am so thankful you did not give up on me. I'm so thankful you didn't leave me in that place. And Lindy will tell you there's still a gap, but it's not as big a gap. It's changing. He will finish what he started. And so, guys, I hope that no matter where you are in this gap, again, no matter how big, how small, you realize God's in the business of finish what he started. He can change us line up on line, precept on precept. J.C. Ryle hit the nail on the head when he says this, there may be knowledge of Scripture in the head while there's no grace in the heart. And I wanted God to move what I knew in my head to my heart and to be living out the truths I knew about grace and forgiveness and mercy and patience and trust, all those things. So we'll be teaching on the doctrines that are too critical to help us think biblically. Each week we'll teach on one. The next week we'll come back and teach on the application of it, how to live then distinctively. It's important you know, all today is the introduction, but you just need to know that the big important news I want you to know today is the goal of doctrine is not knowledge. It is transformation. The goal of doctrine is that we know what is true, and then that affects how we live. It transforms how we live. Here's three verses that pointed out very clearly from the New Testament. James 1:22, but prove yourself doers, that's the transforming part, of the word, not merely hearers only. Not just in your head, but in your hands and your feet and your heart. You're a doer of what you learn. Romans 12, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind. It starts with knowledge, but we want it to move to our heart, and that's what we're going to be focusing on. And 2 Peter 1, 2-3, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So he says the knowledge is given so that it might be used of God to then transform how we live. So it starts with our head, how we think, moves to our lives, how we live. So doctrine used properly is a great thing. I'm going to share just briefly in like a sentence or more just four truths from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which is next week what we'll be looking at, the doctrine of Scripture. But here's what 2 Timothy says. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so there's all the things you know, that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants us to know how to live a godly life, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good employee, and he gives us his word to help us do that. Just going to again briefly look at the four words, teaching. As the perfect father, God does not expect before he instructs. So he does teach us, and that's what we're going to see as we go through doctrine. It's going to be clear that there's doctrine. You're going to know what God thinks about things, and because he teaches us, and then our job then is hopefully to learn how to live that out. We are definitely living in a time when the world is moving towards every man in Judges that talked like this, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. We live in that world today where every man is saying, what's right for me, and so it's right for me, that's then truth. That is not how you determine truth. And so we're going to try and help people understand there is doctrine, there is truth. It's not changing. How do we change to be living in that, under that truth? The fun thing for me is, if we're meeting our mission statement of helping people from all ages and stages, Some of you in here, when we start talking about some of these doctrines, you say, I never knew that. I never knew. And that will excite me greatly because we're going to look at 9 different doctrines. And I hope some of you are saying, I've never been taught that before. Some of you know Ashley Lumberg's story. And I, you know, she shares it publicly, so I'm not sure anything she does that she wouldn't share with you if she was here. But when she first came to faith, she was living with a guy out of wedlock. And she came to faith. And then, like, I think, I don't know, Linda would probably know, but I think like two or three weeks later, she applied. She wanted to start teaching in the children's ministry. And we had to kind of talk to her about, well, Ashley, you know, there's some qualifications of you modeling what we know. Well, the long story short, she had no idea that sleeping with a man outside of marriage was wrong. No idea. Nobody had ever told her that. Her world, that was accepted and adopted. Nobody talked about the doctrine of what Scripture had to say. So I hope there's some of you in here that when we expose doctrine, say, oh, that's going to change the way I live because I didn't even know right and wrong in that area. So that's what we hope to do. Second word, rebuking. The Scripture will point out what those gaps are. That's part of Scripture's job. Third word, correcting, is going to help us correct the gap. Correcting means it's not just pointing out, that's rebuking. Correcting, then it's going to say, let me give you help in how to live the way I want you to live. And then training is actually practicing. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He will help us to live the things that God then pointed out and is pointing out what we should be doing. Remember, sanctification is a process. Salvation is an event. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Jesus did everything for your salvation. He came, he died on a cross, he rose from the dead so that you and I can be forgiven. That's an event. The moment you believe, you become a follower of Jesus. You're saved. You're born again. All those words. But growing to be like him is a process that takes forever until he calls you home. And so that's what we're going to be looking a lot at this idea of training as we go through. Let me close this part of our service with a quote from Paul David Tripp. That this is his prayer for those who read the book. My prayer is that this book would be one of God's tools to help you by his illuminating and enabling grace to close the gap between your confessional theology, what you know in your head, and even confess with your mouth, and your functional theology. And by closing the gap, give the enemy less opportunity to do his evil work. May God meet you with his rescuing and renewing grace as you take this walk with me through the beautiful garden of the doctrines of his word. And that's what I think is going to happen. I really think you're going to learn to love doctrine as you see the beauty of it, as you see God's way. Remember, he who knows us best loves us most. And he who loves us most knows what's best. So his doctrines, they're to glorify him and to bless us. It really is the best way to live. And so we're going to try and discover those. We'll use our magnifying glasses to discover truth and then find ways to apply that to our lives. Your homework is just to answer the one question. Honestly, it'd be great if you had somebody you could discuss it with, honestly, and openly enough to trust them. But ask yourself, are you satisfied with the gap between what you know and how you're living? And if you're like me, I'm not satisfied. Again, I'm not living in gross sin, but I mean, in a sense, I am. We all sin. We fall short every day. But there's still, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want God to continue to change me. I want to be more loving, more forgiving, more compassionate. So wherever you are, I hope you say, yeah, I'm not satisfied either with where I am. And that's what we're going to be looking at together.